Pianist Jeremy Denk is here. Over the last three decades, he has released dozens of recordings showcasing his talent as a major musical force out of the U.S. His Bach Goldberg Variations release made it all the way to number one on the Billboard Classical Charts, and his duet and trio recordings with violinist Joshua Bell and cellist Stephen Asirlis are cornerstones of our catalog right here at the New Classical FM. Grew up in New Mexico before attending Oberlin, Indiana, and Juilliard. He's a recipient of the Genius Grant, the MacArthur Fellowship, as well as the Avery Fisher Prize, and he's a member of the Academy of Arts and Sciences. He's a frequent performer at Carnegie Hall. He's appeared in recent seasons with the Chicago Symphony, the New York Phil, Los Angeles Phil, San Francisco Symphony, and Cleveland Orchestra, as well as on tour with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields and at Royal Albert Hall as part of the BBC Proms. Last year, it was announced that Jeremy Denk is now the Ignatovich Chair in Piano at the Royal Conservatory of Music's Glenn Gould School in Toronto. He's now nurturing the artistic development of students in the piano program. He's only the second to helm the position, the first being the legendary pianist, Leon Fleischer. At long last, it is our pleasure to have Jeremy Denk here in the New Classical FM studios. Welcome.
Thanks. It's a joy to be here.
Great to be with you. We tried to have you in last fall and then in March, and so we're so glad that it worked this time. That might be a good place to start. You're in Toronto on kind of a regular basis these days. How's that feeling?
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's three times a year. The real joy of it is, you know, it's a pretty intense time. I come for a couple days and I teach all day both days.
Right. So you're not, you know, up the CN Tower and watching Blue Jays games.
I'm not mostly sightseeing. I have had some delicious cider.
Right.
But mostly I'm kind of just enjoying getting down to musical details and inspiration with the with the young musicians.
The young musicians. Yeah. And New York is home base, is that the idea?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly. I have a little presence in San Francisco too.
Right.
Which is another beloved city for me.
We just had Mike Marshall, the mandolinist, in here.
Oh, nice.
You know
yeah.
him? And he's kept his place in the Bay Area, too. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's probably a good place to keep your real estate, you know?
In the winter, sometimes it's really nice to be there, you know, and avoid some of the bleakness.
Right. And you're a New Mexico guy, is that right?
I grew up, it's an improbable place for a classical musician to be from.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, was it a desert lifestyle, a farm lifestyle? What was it?
We lived in a kind of desert community, but just on the outskirts of the university. It's a college town where I grew up, Las Cruces, New Mexico State is there. So it's an interesting mix of people down there. And luckily, there was a little community of real diehard classical music lovers there. There was the Las Cruces Symphony, which was...
Sometimes that works, right? And to your favor a little bit, right? When you're not in a big, big city or what have you.
I certainly got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
It was an interesting way. There were some, of course, incredibly passionate and interesting musicians there.
You miss the wide open spaces down there?
I do love the desert.
Yeah.
And when I
so
watch even a dark show like Breaking Bad, I have this nostalgic like Proustian thing where I'm like, oh, yes, New Mexico.
It's true. It's weird. I get agoraphobic watching it on television or on the big screen. But when I'm there, I actually really love it.
Oh, I love it. And the food, of course, also green and red chili.
Yeah.
You know, you grow up with this taste and smell. And every September, you begin to... Like, why am I not smelling green chilies roasting outside of grocery stores? That's something you really miss.
I love it. What is your relationship to Glenn Gould and the Glenn Gould Music School? Where does that sit in your mind?
It's impossible not to have a relationship with Glenn Gould.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I grew up dazzled and kind of mystified by the recordings.
Still is the case, I think.
I think it still is the case. You know, no matter how you feel about it, and my feelings have changed over the years. You always feel that you learn something from his performances, something really important.
Right.
Like he makes sometimes, for me, choices that I would never make. But
I still put them on and I'm like, why did he do it this way? Or why did he speed it up this way? Or, you know, what have you? Why did he make it so different between recordings? It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, inevitably it illuminates. Well, most of the time it is incredibly illuminating to the music that he's addressing. And it's a way of also... You could tell he really wanted to make things fresh.
Right.
You know, he was not content to, you know, lay it down in the molds, right? He had to hear it his own way. And that's an incredibly important lesson. I think that's, no matter how you feel about Glenn Gould, it's an incredible thing. And also, of course, the way he used the recording technology to, he really understood that. more profoundly than most.
Where does your mind sit when you're sitting in front of repertoire? I mean, often you're collaborating with people, or you're working on a project, or you're doing something solo. I mean, do you feel pressure to put your own stamp on things in that way? Or
I wouldn't say it's a pressure. I think for better or for worse, generally I tend to play things in a way that's slightly off the normal.
We had Vikinger in here not long ago, and it was fascinating too to sort of hear his perspective about. He finds, I think, he can change things up in the recording studio. That seems to be a big tool.
If you embrace it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you, because it can sometimes be very scary to be in the studio. Sure. But then once you settle into it, at least you can, and if you have a friendly producer and he or she knows you, then you can start to experiment and not feel too terrified and take some joy in it even.
Pianist Jeremy Dank is with us here on the New Classical FM, the chart-topping recording artist. He's in Toronto as part of his new appointment as the Ignatovich Chair in Piano at the Royal Conservatory of Music's Glenn Gould School. rcmusic.com/GGS to learn more. What does nurturing look like? You talk about these three, you know, campaigns that you make to Toronto, and you're with these young musicians. I mean, what's happening behind the scenes? How are you helping these people?
Well, I mean, some of it is very simple. I listen.
Yeah.
Step one is to listen and see what's there. Try to listen both as a musician or just as a music lover and also a kind of diagnostician, like a doctor.
Yeah.
You know? What do I love about this? What's the thing that seems to need to be liberated? And I love that is an incredibly satisfying activity. You know, if you feel that you're in the flow of it, you're like, what are the words? What's the phrase? What's the thing that is going to free this person up? Even just the tiniest bit.
Right.
What's going to give them this sense that they're not constrained, that they can make music more freely in the moment, and that they can explore, right? And you know, sometimes you try three things. You try an idea, you try an image, you try, and they don't work. And then finally, the fourth one, you're like, oh, yes. And then you hear the sound, and you're like, yes. And it's a totally guiltless pleasure. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rare in life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You eat a delicious meal, you feel slightly guilty about it. You know, so all kinds of things in life aren't good. But to
pretty much everything, it seems.
Yeah, but to give a young musician something beautiful to work with and to see it operate through them, guiltless and amazing.
And when you're working with students like this, they're at a certain level. There's a base there. And so it just becomes nuance on some level. I mean, is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, there's always like ranges of level. There's some hugely talented people of various ages. And I have also worked with the academy high school kids a little bit when I'm here. I'm not used to that as much.
That's a thrill.
That's all kinds of uncorked and waiting to be uncorked talent.
I got a kick at Ricardo Muti was here last year, and he sat down with the various groups. And it was so fascinating to just see him go to work with these kids.
You know? Oh, lovely. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and I tried to remember that they're also sometimes slightly scared to have to, as I was always, playing with, for master classes when I was a kid.
Yeah. What are you noticing about this generation of students that you're working with? Is there something that's happening now? Are they distracted more? Are they more focused? What's happening where maybe you can see a discernible difference from your training in your early years?
I wouldn't say that I have this great encyclopedic or global view of how young pianists are now. I do, I have my complaints, that some of the art of rubato has been lost or discouraged. Sometimes sound seems like a second or third priority. And so I try to work on those things, but I don't want to be get off my lawn kind of grouchy, you know. But I try to I try to be a voice for those things, there's certain repertoire that I think young people are these days seem more at ease with.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little more trouble identifying with Mozart and Haydn than some other things, right?
Is it because that is more collaborative music on some level? You know, you get into the closer to the 20th and 21st century, and it starts to be a bit more rock star performances.
It may be. It's also further from us in time, right?
Yeah.
It's some of the furthest music in the piano repertoire, and its joys are less obvious to find. You know, and maybe that's true for a lot of young people, but I grew up listening to Murray Pariah Mozart concerto albums, and those were sort of revelations for me, even when I was a kid. So I had a thing for Mozart from a young age.
You might have fought with Glenn Gould on that one, actually.
Yeah, we definitely have a difference of opinion about that.
Yeah.
The thing about playing Mozart well is sort of every four bars is a different person or a different character.
Right.
Being able to inhabit not just the one heroic protagonist there on stage, but being able to create this kind of empathetic ensemble of humanity in a piece, it's hard. It's not easy. I love to work with the young people on that music for that reason.
I love hearing about what you're seeing and what you're making suggestions, and that sounds wonderful. You know, we play a lot of music that you have recorded with American violinist Joshua Bell. I think French Impressions kind of feels like the big one. Is that the one?
That's a long time ago, but we did that. Yeah, that was a fun album. Hopefully we'll do some more soon.
It's sort of when you put in both of your names, that seems to be the one that kind of comes up in the searches or what have you. Mm-hmm. But then we were just talking just before we sat down to do this. You did the At Home record during the pandemic. You did a Tiny Desk concert, which
we did. That's right.
Kind of a big deal. I mean, talk about that relationship over the years.
Actually, we toured together for about 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
Recitals. Every year we did a month of recitals together. And we got to know each other, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe almost all too well, you know.
I look at some of these guys who do this for a long period of time, maybe, you know, half a dozen records. Yeah, that's a commitment.
Well, there's such an immense amount you can learn from Joshua, the way that he plays and the way that he is a performer, a tremendous communicator. And we have a kind of wonderful mutual respect, you know, and we did a lot of different things. And this summer, we're actually having a bit of a reunion, which is nice.
Okay.
We're going to do, because it's Fauré's 150th birthday this year.
We've got a few records. It was Rachmaninoff last year, 150.
It's a big Fauré year. Yeah. And Stephen and Joshua and I are going to eventually record all this chamber music for strings and piano. So this summer we're doing a bunch of big, like, Fauré piano quartets and quintets and things together.
What do you think of, kind of the father of Impressionism to some degree and sort of begins this wonderful time in Paris and France? And I really love that music. Where does it sit for you?
It's complicated. You know, you're right. I suppose in some ways the harmonic language is when it starts to ooze out of the, you know, basic chords, begins to feel proto-Debussy maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But it does feel also like the end of it. It feels a little bit more like a parallel to Brahms on the German side, sort of like looking forward, late Brahms and late Fauré. They have this wonderful quality. Late Fauré is a little less concise than late Brahms.
Right.
Late Brahms got shorter, and late Fauré began to kind of like Henry Jamesian expand into these endless qualified sentences of music. And sometimes you're in the middle of a clause of music, and you have no idea where you are, where you've been. You know, it's like almost a opium dream of the great thing about Stephen, the way that he plays this music, and I think that's why Josh is so excited too, is because Stephen really understands the play between the freedom of that and the structure that makes this music so extraordinary.
That is a hot tease for more music. We're excited to have you here in Toronto as often as you're here. And we just, you know, anytime I get a chance to sit down with someone who I say his name, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a week, it's always really special for us. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Pianist Jeremy Denk has been our guest here on The Oasis. He's been in Toronto as part of his new appointment as the Inatovich Chair in Piano at the Royal Conservatory of Music's Glenn Gould School. rcmusic.com/ggs to learn more. This is Jeremy Denk in performance.